If you're listening to this podcast, it means you're ready. No, more than ready to have a major breakthrough in your restaurant. You're hungry for change and you're hungry for growth. That's why you're feeding your mind right now with all of this valuable information. But to drive those changes, you need to be really smart about what you're doing and to make the right choices before you take action. You need help from someone who's been there, someone to coach you through it, even just someone to help you look at your restaurant differently. That's what restaurant coaching is designed to do. Working with a professional coach will grow your business exponentially. Donald Burns, the restaurant coach, is offering a free one-on-one business strategy session for listeners of this podcast. That's right, a one-on-one session with the restaurant coach himself, a $500 value. It's completely free, no strings attached. Just go to therestaurantcoach.com to book your session today.
Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
Mistakes, we all make them, and I'm sure you're going to make quite a few more while running a restaurant. Stick around because you'll want to avoid these 19 fatal mistakes that 80% of all restaurants make each year. Hey, welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. Here's a very, very sad statistic. Of all the restaurants that open this year, only 50% are going to be open 3 years from now. What's even more shocking is that only 5% are ever going to survive their 10-year anniversary. How sad is that? Only 5 out of 100 restaurants are going to celebrate their 10th anniversary. So what can you do to increase your odds? Pretty much everything you can. You could read books, blogs, subscribe to podcasts and YouTube channels like this one, hint, hint. You can attend workshops and seminars, join a mastermind group, how about find a mentor, or maybe even hire a business coach. Okay, that was a little self-promoting, but there it is. You just want to do something that breaks you free from the limited mindset that keeps most people stuck in fear, doubt, and denial. Take a hard look at the following mistakes and give yourself a little reality check. If you're guilty, admit it, and then take conscious action to change it. Your restaurant can take you in a whole different direction if you decide to do something other than what you're doing right now. If your restaurant's not working the way you want it, you probably wouldn't be here watching this video. Mistake number one, the leader does not know their natural strengths. So let me ask you some questions. What are you good at? What are you okay at? And let's be honest, what do you suck at? Seriously, to get ahead of the competition, you must know exactly what your natural strengths are. For example, how do you lead naturally? What is your preferred communication style? How do you like to deal with stress? These are just a few of the questions that are answered when you use a behavioral assessment tool. Now, once you know your strengths, you can start to build a team around you that's going to complement your strengths and also minimize your weaknesses. So the first step to getting control of your restaurant is knowing your strengths. And the easiest way to do that is to use a behavioral assessment tool. Now, there are quite a few on the market. There's ones out there like called the DISC and also the Predictive Index. Now for restaurants, I prefer the ProScan survey from PDP Global. It has a unique part that measures your kinetic energy, which really allows me to understand how much natural energy you have throughout the day to manage and accomplish tasks. And honestly, that is critical to getting a lot of shit done. Now, behavioral assessments, when appropriately administered, have a 96% accuracy rate. And I won't work with a client until they take a behavioral assessment because I need to understand how they're going to communicate, how they're going to lead, how they're going to react to stress, how they're going to manage tasks, and also what's keeping them stuck where they are. Seriously, you stop running around in circles when you know your strengths and start getting more done. So a behavioral assessment tool is a great way to build a dynamic team around you to help you accomplish all that you want to. Mistake number two, they don't have solid core values that they live. Now, I preach about core values for one simple reason. They are your ethical compass. You gotta know what you stand for if you ever want to attract your ideal guest and ideal staff to your brand. Your core values are not to be taken lightly. They are the foundation of all great cultures. I challenge you to find any great restaurant or any great brand that doesn't know their core values. They all know them. They preach them. They live them. Integrity is a core value that will attract or repel people to you. We hate hypocrites. Brands that don't know who they are cursed to live in existence, and they're basically just doomed to wander the restaurant industry without a clear path or plan to get there. Core values are the perfect tool for getting your team aligned with your culture. People that buy into your core values are going to be a better team fit long-term for your brand. They're going to perform better, and they will be less likely to leave. They'll also be a lot more accountable than those who don't believe in your core values. Core values aren't a fix every restaurant problem, but they actually do prevent about 95% of those problems. Mistake number three, you don't have a clear or concise vision for your brand. You know, the Bible says it, where there's no vision, the people perish. It's true. Without a clear vision, your restaurant will perish. You must have a goal or a target beyond just surviving, which is, I hate to say, the goal of 80% of restaurants. Now, I talk to about 50 restaurants a week, and the majority of them have a goal just to break even. Please, that's not a goal. That's a desperate cry for help. You opened a business to thrive, not just survive. Having a clear vision and direction is vital to long-term success. The most successful restaurants reevaluate their monthly goals, their targets, and their mission to ensure that they're still on track and on path for what they aim for. Now, sometimes you need to make a course correction, and you can only do that when you have a plan. Otherwise, you're just kind of wandering around hoping that your business will be fine. And unfortunately, hope is not a strategy. Wanting to be fine is the same as wanting to be average. And honestly, being average sucks because it won't make you any money. The primary way to uncover your vision is to ask yourself quality questions. Here's some good ones. Why does your restaurant exist? Why do you do this every single day? Why is success important to you? Now, if you don't know the answers to those simple questions, you need to really do a little soul searching immediately. Mistake number four, they haven't defined their standards. Now, we talk about standards a lot in this business, and yet it's probably one challenge that most restaurants have trouble enforcing. Why? Pretty simple, because their standards keep changing, or worse, they have double standards. Now, while you think this might be common sense, I can honestly say that after 44 years in the restaurant industry, common sense is not very common. It would be best if you understood exactly what your standards and expectations are. One of the significant issues in any business is poor communication. And poor communication comes from undeclared or miscommunicated expectation. You can solve that by getting all those standards and expectations out of your head and written down on paper. So this one step will save you many problems down the road, but you must do it. You must write them down. The words I hate to hear from any new restaurant or any new client is, well, they should know. Well, they don't know. So let's get them to know. Now, after you've declared and clarified your standards, if the team doesn't follow them, now they kind of fall into a different category where they don't care. And those people just need to be allowed to find employment somewhere else. Mistake number five, they have systems that are not maximized or used consistently. Right now, I would make a sure bet that you have some clipboards hanging up with checklists on them that rarely get used. Am I right? 9 times out of 10, I am. And it's not that I'm psychic, it's just that it's a common problem. Checklists are designed to help us run a more effective business, yet they really become just an eyesore just sitting dormant on the walls of so many restaurants. So what can you do? Checklists are a great tool if, it's a big if, they are appropriately used. That's the key for any tool. It must be used to be of value. A hammer sitting on a table doesn't do anything by itself. It needs to be picked up and used. Same thing for those checklists and that software program you bought with the very best intentions of using. Then sadly, your team pushed back a little bit and you threw in the towel. Here is where we talk about who is running your restaurant. Are you running it or is your team? Once and again, the staff runs many restaurants and that is not a good situation. It's kind of like the lawless days of the Wild Wild West. Getting back control of your restaurant is going to be a really big challenge, especially if the staff has been running things for any time. You know, they hate to lose power. However, if you ever want to get to the point where you work on your business instead of in your business, this is a bridge that you must be ready to cross. And I'll also give you a fair warning, you want to be prepared for the battle that's going to happen. And it all starts with more training, explaining the why, and making the systems a non-negotiable. Mistake number 6, they have an outdated hiring system, or worse, they panic hire. Okay, here is where many make a fatal mistake and they don't realize it. They have no system for hiring. Instead, they use the same boring interview questions that everyone asks.
Tell me about your last job. What would your previous manager say about you? What did you like about your last place of employment?
I mean, seriously, those are so boring. When you ask tired and dull interview questions, you get tired and boring people working for you. You need to stop that. The goal of the interview process is not just to fill a job position. I know, that kind of sounds counterintuitive, but it's not. It's to find a person who is a good personality fit for the culture and also for the team. Now, unfortunately, we tend to hire for skill and we totally forget all about the personality. Major mistake. Always hire for personality and then train the skills. You can teach anyone if they're coachable and trainable. You just can't change personality. Have a hiring system that asks for insight into their personality and then back it up with a behavioral assessment. I mean, Fortune 500 companies have been using behavioral assessments for years, and you need to tap into the power that they possess. Those tools really ensure that the person you're looking at is the right fit for your culture. Mistake number 7, they don't know their theoretical and actual food cost. Here is an unfortunate statistic. Only 5% of restaurants operating today know the cost of everything on your menu. Now, if this is you, hold out your left hand and slap it with your right hand and say, bad owner. Seriously, not knowing your menu cost is low-hanging fruit that is just ready to be picked up. Every successful restaurant obsesses about 2 food cost calculations, theoretical and actual food cost. Theoretical is also known as ideal or perfect food cost. It is, you know, in theory, what every item on your menu costs to make. And of course we know we don't live in a perfect world since there are mistakes, we drop things, things spoil, there's waste. That is why we need to know actual food cost also. This is an easy formula to calculate. Beginning inventory plus purchases minus ending inventory divided by sales. And yes, you must be doing inventory at least once a month. And if your costs are out of line, I really actually suggest you start doing inventory once a week. Here's another fact that might motivate you to start costing or updating the costing on all of your menus. The average restaurant has a difference or a gap between theoretical and actual food cost of 9%. Oh my God, that's a lot of money to be leaving on the table. You need to do some work to find it, but I'm telling you, there's gold in those numbers. Mistake number 8. They don't market effectively. 95% of restaurants that are in the business post on social media. Only about 5% actually market effectively. Now, there's a big difference between posting and marketing that many don't realize. Posting is putting up the same boring content that every other restaurant in your market does. Pictures of your food with some cheesy remark about that food. Okay, it was really unique when social media first started, but now we're kind of desensitized to the flood of food pictures or food porn that kind of crowd our feed every hour. All the restaurants in your market are fighting for a piece of the pie. Stop competing and start standing out with story marketing. You have in your hand a portable video studio in the form of your smartphone, and yet most people only use it to send text messages and to take more boring photos of their food. Video is the only way to stand out in an overcrowded market. You can't wait another day not to tell your story to the world. Many restaurants with exceptional food and service go out of business because they are the best kept secret in their town. Trust me, the last thing you want to be known for is being the best kept secret. The other key to effective marketing is being consistent and increasing your frequency. Hashtag write this down, best known beats best. Most restaurants post occasionally, and doing that is not going to keep your brand what's known as top of feed. Today, frequency is underestimated and overlooked. You can't post just once or twice a week and think that you're being effective. It's not. This is going to require you to break from traditional thinking and your current habits. They want to really rise above the crowd. Mistake number 9, They don't have a strategic plan that they use consistently. Okay, the formula is simple. The better you plan, the better your results. So, do you have a plan for your restaurant, or are you just kind of get by and survive? Getting by is the default mode from which most restaurants operate. You went into business to thrive, not just to survive. I always suggest that you have a flexible massive action plan or a map. A map is critical to success in today's economy. Dining trends change, markets shift, guest demands evolve. Are you ready for the changes as they come? Are you prepared to move quicker than your competition? Adaptive planning and anticipation are two elements that you must have to survive any kind of impending restaurant meltdown. Don't think it can happen to you? Well, look at those well-known brands like Howard Johnson's. They had 1,000 locations. Chi-Chi's, 210 locations. Burger Chef had 1,200 locations. They're all gone. And they might be here still if they had been a little more adaptive to the market and anticipated the shifts in their industries. Having a plan is not enough. You must apply that plan daily and make adjustments as needed to what the market is doing. Mistake number 10, they don't cultivate their culture. I'm telling you, culture is the secret sauce that separates the good from the great from the outstanding. Every restaurant in your market can buy from the same food service distributors. You all hire from the same labor pool. So what separates them? It's culture. I mean, my entire third book, Your Restaurant Culture Sucks, has been focused on culture because culture is so important. Culture is the beliefs and values that hold a restaurant together. Kind of think of it like social superglue. Without it, you don't run your restaurant, it runs you. Unfortunately, plenty of restaurants with potential have been killed by toxic cultures. No one wants to work in a toxic environment, and guests won't continue to return if the culture is unattractive. I'm telling you, bad culture is kind of like bad body odor. You don't want to be around it for very long. And if you don't think words make or break a restaurant, you've never experienced the power of a great culture. However, getting the culture right is not easy, especially if it's been turned to the dark side. I'm not saying it can't be turned around. It's going to take a lot more work than you expect. Culture, to me, is the soul of a restaurant. And what would you do to save your soul? Whatever it takes. Mistake number 11, they don't train enough. Most restaurants have what is known as a training culture. They only train on the front end when a new employee is hired. Basically, you know, you give them a workbook, you have them do a shadow, you know, following a fellow employee around for a few days, maybe take a test, and then they're turned loose upon the guest and they just want to be in to work with the team. That's not really a good plan if you want to rise above average standards in the business. Training is never out or never over for the true professional. And it should never stop in your restaurant either. Make the shift to a learning culture where learning and constant improvement is the daily goal. Remember, don't train your team until they get it right. Train them until they can't get it wrong. That's how the most successful restaurants operate. They make training an everyday task that keeps their team and their people sharp and focused. Mistake number 12, they leave money on the table by not maximizing their P&L. You know, miners obsessed with gold back in California said, there's gold in them there hills. Well, there's gold in your profit and loss or P&L statement. You just need to dig a little to find it. The worst thing you can do is take your P&L at face value and just accept what it is. You never want to do that. You need to challenge reality and ask more empowering questions. Look at your P&L and ask what could be. Now, you have items on your P&L that probably actually, honestly, could use a little diet. Look at some of those things on your P&L and just think, if you improve some of those things just by 2%, it would have a massive impact on your profits. And you must look at both sides of the profit equation, the top line and the bottom line. Too often, restaurants pay more attention to the bottom line and cut to save money. But let's be crystal clear, you cannot save your way to profits. It does help, and only a fool would not be conscious of the bottom line. But here's the thing, you don't want to come at the expense of your brand reputation or your core values. I had a client once who thought it was a great idea to buy a cheaper hamburger blend to save a few bucks. And the immediate backlash of complaints quickly made them realize this one decision really hurt their reputation and demoralize the team. Here's the thing, it takes a long time to build trust with your guests and a truly short amount of time to lose that trust when you do stupid things like trying to save a little bit of money. Far better to keep buying the quality of product that your guests expect and just adjust your prices. Now for the top line, you need to take control of the sales machine and put some energy into stimulating sales. How? Train the team to make sincere recommendations instead of just being order takers like most restaurants have. Increase your delivery and catering services. Offer fixed price menus or special events like wine dinners or cooking classes that can bring in some extra revenue on those slower evenings. Increasing sales is a matter of just being creative. Mistake number 13, the leaders have bad habits that hold the restaurant back. All right, time for a little heart-to-heart talk. Your restaurant reflects your habits. Now, those habits might not be visible to you, but your team and your guests see them. And you could also call these things blind spots. Hey, you know, they're called blind spots for a reason. The key is to open your eyes and find someone who's gonna be honest with you. Now, that could be a trusted friend, a mentor, or a business coach. You wanna have someone who's not going to just kinda let you slide off your bad habits. You want someone who's not gonna let you get by with your bad habits. So what are some bad habits that restaurant owners have? I'm glad you asked. How about talking over someone when they're talking? Not listening. Throwing temper tantrums. Being too affectionate to the staff. Drinking or drugs at the restaurant. Being late. Changing your mind a lot to the point where the staff thinks that you're just kind of like that kid who cried wolf every time you change something to something else. Those are just a few of the bad habits that drive your team and your guests a little crazy. Now, people will tolerate crazy for a little while, and then they get tired of the drama, and they just start looking for another restaurant to call home. Now, here's some good news for you. Habits are learned behavior. So if you learned a bad behavior, you can unlearn it and learn a new behavior. The one step that is required is that you have to be honest with yourself. And step two is you're gonna have to wanna make some changes to be a better leader. Mistake number 14, they keep poor performers way too long. I know you hear the labor pool is supposed to be really tight, and we all see the headlines out there that there's a war for talent. I don't really believe that. I believe what we have is a war with talent. I also believe that a steady stream of highly skilled and personable people are out there that really want to work in your restaurant. They're just not attracted to your culture because you tolerate low performers. It's quite simple, actually. Toxic cultures attract toxic people. And if you're honest, you most likely have at least one poor performer on your payroll. So why do you keep them? Not helping your brand. They're actually causing more problems under the surface than you realize. So what defines a poor performer? They don't elevate the standards. They can barely maintain them. They do just the bare minimum of work to get by. They cause friction with the A players who have to do extra work to make up for the slack of the poor performers. And honestly, they cost you sometimes twice as much as one A player because you need two people to do a job of one A player. And here's the thing, they can't be expected to bring their A game because they don't have an A game. And sadly, poor performers are just content with being average. The best thing you can do is allow these people to go work for a restaurant that condones mediocrity. Stop being the nice person trying to hold on to an image that you are a good person for not letting them go. You are a good person if you allow them to leave and find happiness in the cult of average that 80% of restaurants live in. You gotta drop the fear and face the fact that poor performers are killing your culture and your chances of attracting top talent. Mistake number 15, the leaders suck at time management. You know, I love it when people say they're too busy. That's a bunch of bullshit. We're called human beings when the truth is we're actually humans doing. And that means you gotta get shit done. Here's the most extraordinary insight you know, yet you don't take advantage of it. We all have the same amount of time each day. That's the beautiful thing about time. It doesn't discriminate. I had an interview with a manager at a new client's restaurant, and I asked him point blank, what are a few things that you need around here that would make your restaurant run so much better and smoother? Here's what his reply was. Well, we really need checklists and prep sheets. And then I asked him, well, why haven't you done them? And he said, I'm too busy. That's right. I just kind of sat there and shook my head in shock. He knew it would make his restaurant run better. Yet, he's going to go for the bullshit excuse that he's too busy? I mean, come on. You have the time. The truth is that you just haven't found a really compelling reason to take action. That is the fundamental thing about time management. You make time for the things that are important to you. If it's of absolute importance, trust me, you will find a way. If not, you're gonna find an excuse. As human beings, we have a very, very sad trait that we can rationalize anything, even stuff that we know is wrong for us to do. There are very few restaurant management training programs that teach or develop time management skills. Instead, they discuss how to run a shift or handle a guest complaint. Maybe, I mean, really 1% invest in teaching their leaders to be better at managing their most valuable asset that all human beings have, and that is time. Mistake number 16, the leaders focus on the GX, guest experience, over the TX, team experience. Now for the last few decades, the prevailing thought was to focus on ensuring that the guest experience was solid. Now, it served our industry well, and things were really, really good, and then the millennials and Gen Z entered the workplace, and if you didn't notice, something shifted. Most likely, you noticed it was a form of having a little bit more challenging time finding and retaining staff. You see, the new generation are not difficult or lack motivation. You just don't know what motivates them because you're using old techniques that really worked on baby boomers and Gen Xers. Those kind of psychological games, they don't fly with the younger generations that don't think of staying with a restaurant for a career. No, what they want to learn, grow, and develop. And you have a great chance of reducing your turnover if you provide that. If not, you better keep that ad continuously running on Craigslist and Indeed. The team experience is the focus of the modern restaurant. You want to ensure your team has the resources and is constantly being trained and developed. Growth and learning are the new techniques being employed by successful brands today. You got to incorporate different learning platforms into your training. Video is the new medium that the younger generation looks for. So it's time to update that boring training manual that you have been using for years. And what you want to do is you want to break it down into bite-sized training modules, and that you want to put those on videos where they can watch them over and over again. The younger generation learns by repetition, and the old way of showing them once isn't going to cut it. The team experience also means having cool perks like bus passes, family meals, maybe a private Facebook group or a WhatsApp channel for the team to connect and communicate. If you refocus your energy more on the team experience than the guest experience, and I'm not saying take your eye off the guest experience, but you're going to see that the guest experience is going to become better overall. After all, the restaurant business is the people business at heart. Mistake number 17, they choose competition over domination. It truly baffles me that restaurants would rather play it safe and compete rather than stand out in their market. Oh, and they say they want to stand out, and then they play it safe when it comes to taking action. Let's be clear, to stand out, you must be willing to push the edge of your comfort zone. Now, in my second book, Your Restaurant Still Sucks, I discuss the difference between what's known as red ocean and blue ocean restaurants. Most restaurant competition exists in the red ocean, and it's red from the blood of the dog-eat-dog mindset. Here, restaurants compete on price, and they're considered a commodity. Look at any of the fast food chain, you know, burger concepts or the chicken sandwich wars going on, and you know exactly what this is. I mean, it's brutal, and the ones with the bigger marketing budgets or better, clever ideas tend to win the game. Doesn't matter if your food or service is all that good either, and that's really what's terribly sad. And then there's the blue ocean. This is where there's very little competition because you stand out on quality, core values, culture, and your mission. Remember, people buy what you do over anything else. We forget that there are so many different emotions to marketing. There's actually 13 of them. Yet, we play it safe and show maybe one, two, if you're really lucky, maybe three. Blue Ocean restaurants understand that you must be open to sharing your story with the world to let it be seen. authenticity is the number one tool for Blue Ocean restaurants. The other fatal mistake restaurants make is not posting enough on social media. The internet is way bigger than you think. Remember, that 1 to 3 posts a week is not having any impact. It's kind of like taking 3 pebbles down to the ocean and trying to make a big splash. It just doesn't work that way. If nothing else, posting 1 or 2 times a week, it's more noise than marketing. And trust me, there's plenty of noise on social media. Please don't contribute to it. Mistake number 18, they have the wrong people in the wrong positions. Let's say you have that longtime employee who has been loyal and dedicated over years, and now you decide to promote them into a leadership role. The battlefield promotion. Now, it's a good idea on the surface, and most of the time, it turns out to be an ugly mistake that ends up with the long-term employee leaving. Why? You promoted them without even considering if they were really a good fit for the position. It's a common and fatal trap that many get caught into. And of course, we know what our people want, and we know what's best for them. But do we really? Have we ever sat down with them and had a clear, I mean a really, really clear and apparent conversation about the expectations for the new role? Have we looked at their strengths and weaknesses from their behavioral survey and developed a coaching plan so when they hit those challenges, and they will, we have a way for them to navigate them? Have you ever sat down and really asked them if they genuinely want the job before we just do the battlefield promotion on them? I'm telling you, 8 times out of 10, most have never had a heart-to-heart conversation like this. Why? Because we let our ego out of its cage and we think we know what's best for them. So let's be clear. We need to know what they want before we hand out that promotion. Or worse, we just can't let our emotions or personal relationships decide to promote people or place them into a position when we know deep down inside they're not just a good fit for it. But we do it anyway because we think we can help them or we think we can change them. You know, give them a chance, right? Famous last words that we usually end up eating later. The chances of you changing someone else are very, very slim. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, you have a hard enough time trying to change yourself. So don't think for a second that you're gonna change other people. I mean, look at your long list of unkept New Year's resolutions, and that's pretty much proof. And then finally, mistake number 19, the leader doesn't develop themselves. This one is kind of like the fatal blow to restaurant culture. The leader, if you can really call them that, who wants everyone else to be better while they stay the same. You can put these words up on my tombstone. All business problems are people problems. And those people problems start at the top of any restaurant organization and they trickle down. Culture is a living thing that is cultivated and nurtured by leadership. It's kind of like a pipe that carries oxygen and energy to the team and kind of flows down to the guest. If your guest experience is weak, I can trace the culture flow from the end of the pipe and go up and see where the flow issue is at. 9 times out of 10, it's at the top. Leaders are always the problem. And here's the thing, they're also always the solution. They just need to swallow their pride and admit that their restaurant reflects them. Your habits, your attitudes, your beliefs, your core values are the foundation of restaurant culture. And if you think you can bypass this and create a culture on just hope and good intentions, please think again. Culture is created by either design or by default. If you don't have a hand in its creation, trust me, the staff is gonna make one out of their habits, their attitudes, their belief, and their core values. And I will tell you with 100% certainty, you do not want that. Changing culture is the most challenging thing I do as the restaurant coach. Toxic cultures like the way they are. That comfort zone is deadly once it gets a hold of your restaurant, and it's gonna be like wrestling a gorilla to get it back. And here's the secret when wrestling a gorilla. You don't stop when you're tired, you stop when the gorilla's tired. Remember this. Negativity breeds complacency. Complacency invites mediocrity, and mediocrity is the death of a restaurant. When you fail to grow as a person, you hold your restaurant hostage to remaining the same. And the sad thing is, 80% of people who run restaurants are okay with who they are and having the restaurant the way it currently is. You see, mediocrity has consumed them, and they've all accepted a life and a restaurant that is less than it really could be. Now, if you made it this far, you're in that 20% that want more. You know you could become more. You know you can do more. You know you can make more. You know you can have more. Now, to get that, you will need to jump into uncharted territory. And that thought is going to make you a little bit uncomfortable. But you need to embrace that feeling because everything you want is on the other side of your comfort zone. We all know we should work on our business instead of in our business. But how do you do that? First thing you want to do is you want to go back and listen to these 19 fatal mistakes again and find out which ones are you really guilty of. You see, awareness is your ally here. You can't change something until you see that you really need to change. And this is going to require you to be honest with yourself about, are you running your life? Are you running your restaurant? Or is your restaurant running you? You see, the two work together. You can't be successful in the restaurant business and not successful in your life without them spilling over into each other. There's no such thing as really life-work balance. It's all just life. It's your life. And if you want to break free from where you are now, you're going to need a coach and a path that is proven to get results. This is where my Restaurant Accelerator is my signature roadmap to getting the restaurant that you want. More money in the bank, more time for what matters to you. How about less stress? How about more life? And if you say it can't be done, I have over 2,600 independent restaurants over the last 14 years that would say otherwise. Old habits, outdated beliefs, and limiting mindsets keep you exactly where you are now. To change your restaurant, you must change yourself first. And that starts with a decision to change.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.